All right, let's go ahead. And tonight we'll be back again in Psalm 23. And before we get started, I want to ask a question. What comes to mind? Now, we're taking Bible out. We're taking the aspect of Bible study and where we're at out, because I've already told you where we're going to. But what comes to mind when you hear or use the word comfort? Comfort. Don't be bashful. My bed. Huh? My bed. Hey, amen, my bed. How about adding another word after comfort? Comfort, food. Comfort food, a comfort place, a comfort blanket or the bed. We have little things of security or things that we go to when we are uncomfortable. Or maybe even a person. I know in my earlier years, I'm still the same way now in many aspects, that there are times where I'm maybe a little stressed or feel like I need some comfort. I don't turn to no-bake cookies all the time, but when Michelle makes them, I eat them. But our girls turn to that, or they turn to chocolate cake or chocolate ice cream. Me, I want solitude. I want to go for a walk. I want to go up on the rooftop. I want to go somewhere to be by myself for a little while. We all seek comfort in different ways, in different aspects. But you know, sometimes we forget when some of the smallest and littlest thing, even though it really should be a big thing in our life, is this reminder of what Psalm 23 tells us. Verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But we're going to focus on just that first few words there. The Lord is my shepherd tonight. Folks, with the Lord, sometimes we forget. It's easy. And I got under conviction. I mean, the next time I'm under stress, the next time I'm a little bit concerned or worried about my kids or my grandkids or the church or whatever else, or procedure coming up, you know, I need to run to the Lord and not run to the refrigerator for that piece of grilled chicken. Or that, because it's better than the ice cream that's on the other side that I really, really want. And then I eat that piece of chicken and say, boy, it tastes like ice cream. It never does. But we go to things for comfort. We've raised children, or we were children at times where they have a comfort blanket or a comfort place or a comfort thing that makes everything better. And it's not quite the full angle. The Lord just kind of put this on my heart tonight before service started, the aspect of comfort. So I just wrote the word comfort down on the top of my notes. But I think it's really a good reminder for us to try to remember to run to Him when we need comfort. To run to Him. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. What better place to go? Philip Keller, I mentioned him last week, was a sheep rancher who wrote a tremendous book entitled A Shepherd's Looks at the 23rd Psalm. If you get your hands on it, it's a good read. I think it's fellas from Australia. Real quick, anyone need a handout? Anyone need a handout? Well, we've got a few more if need so. Okay. It's in it, he says in his book, that the sheep require more attention than any other livestock because they are incapable of taking care of themselves. Kind of like a teenager. But they're incapable of taking care of themselves. Unless their shepherd makes them move on, sheep will ruin pasture, eating every blade of grass until there's nothing left but barren soul. Kind of sounds like me. Sometimes when I get under stress, I'll eat to the bottom of that bucket of ice cream unless I refocus on some things. Sheep are nearsighted and they're very stubborn. But they're also very easily frightened. An entire flock, Mr. Keller says, can be stampeded by one jackrabbit. Maybe even by a mouse, who knows. They have little means of defense. They're timid, they're feeble creatures. Their only recourse, is to turn and run if no shepherd is there to protect them. And doesn't really make a little more sense why the Lord compares us to sheep? Sheep have no homing instincts, while a dog, a horse, a cat, or a pigeon can find its way home. When a sheep gets lost, it's a goner unless someone rescues them. I was a goner too until the Lord Jesus rescued me. The overriding principle of Psalm 23 is that sheep can't make it without a shepherd. Sheep just can't make it without a shepherd. And maybe that's why God has chosen to liken people to sheep. It makes pretty good sense when you consider these things here. Sheep have a mob instinct. I can make sure he's awake out there. Sheep are fearfully and easily intimidated. And so are most people. Sheep can be stubborn, and I'm not supposed to use this word, and my granddaughters are here, and not very intelligent. Like some people. Sheep are habitual by nature, and like it or not, so are many of us. Sheep are in bad shape without a shepherd. And it's the same way with people. When you think about all the things that we've gone through, the prayer list that we've shared with one another tonight, the other hardships we've gone through. I can't imagine how the world, the lost, if they even sit around and share needs that they have of emotions or death in the family or things that are going on, how they cope with it. And many of us know how, drugs and alcohol and other addictive things. And because of all these things, this is what we want to focus on tonight, because every believer needs a shepherd. Every believer needs a shepherd. And we are so grateful and we are so privileged to know that we do have a shepherd. Number one, I need the shepherd because he made me. Because he made me. He is my creator. And we have that aspect there. The Lord is my shepherd. So we'll just concentrate that on that just for a moment. The Lord. In this verse, the word Lord is completely capitalized. L-O-R-D, all capitalized. And that's because it's from the Hebrew word Jehovah. And so often we forget, and that's another good study on your own time, is taking your lexicon out, getting your dictionary out, looking at the Word of God, and studying the names of God and what they mean and how much there is of God toward us that can help us to lean upon Him. It means, here Jehovah, it means that the Lord is self-existent or the eternal one. And it's the same self-existent one who made all that has ever been made. Notice these passages of scripture in Colossians chapter 1. You have there in your handout in the beginning of verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Folks, I don't know about you. That answers the question for me, what came first, the chicken or the egg? It was debated today on television. John chapter 1, well, on radio. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God and with God. And the Word was with God and was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything that was made. Dear friends, I need my shepherd because He made me. And because He made me, He knows me inside and out. He knows my emotions, my failures, my shortcomings, my strengths, and my weaknesses. Dear friends, people can believe whatever they want to believe about the creation of the universe and all that one may come up with. But ultimately, no matter what a person believes, he will eventually end up in Genesis 1:1. There is no other logical alternative. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. If there is any doubt, all you have to do is ask the question and reply to every claim they make. And what caused that? We always come back to the Word. And what caused that? It's Him. He created it. Not only do we see here that He is a maker of all things. Not only He made me, but He is a maker of all things. But letter B, He is a maker of small things. So often I think we forget about with God's creation, not is He only the maker of all things, but He is the maker of small things, the little things. If you can accept Genesis 1:1, then it's easy to accept that God made the world, the sun, the moon, the stars, the skies, the seas, and the dry area, the dry ground. But God made the little things too. Little things like plants and animals, little things like birds and fishes, and He made little things like people. He made us. And I think too often we forget the God of the universe as the book of Job, I think Job tells us, that he reached out and hung the world on nothing. He's got everything under control. He is not surprised with our bodies when it goes, dismay goes out of whack and all that goes on. I know that sometimes it's not, he didn't create us to be perfect, but he did create us to depend upon him. After all, he compares us to sheep, and sheep need a, so who do we need? We need him. We need our shepherd. Psalm 139 in verse 14. Psalm 139. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. A little stop there and a question. When's the last time you praised him? Private or public? When's the last time you praised him? The writer here says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth it right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest part of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned. Yet as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. Again, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Isn't it wonderful to know that not only is he in charge, but he is not only the Lord, but he is my Lord, my creator. He's the maker of all things. He's the maker of me. Jeremiah chapter 18. Excuse me. So the Lord made me, and because he made me, it should change my attitude toward his place in my life. Years ago, I heard a mother getting onto their child quite firmly. She wasn't Superman, she wasn't Supergirl, but you can almost see the lasers coming out of her eyes. And she grabbed that teenage boy by the shoulder and said, boy, I brought you into this world, I can take you out. How often do we forget the Creator, our God, who brought us into the world, who graciously allows us to continue to live for him? Folks, I don't know about you, but I sure don't want a premature death. I don't want to be taken home any earlier, but sometimes I wonder if we realize how fearfully and wonderfully we are made. Jeremiah 18:3. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Isn't it wonderful to know that the potter, the great physician, our shepherd, not only has fearfully and wonderfully made us, but created the universe as well. Folks, when's the last time again? Not only did we praise him, but praise him for the goodness. Man, we were out today and I learned a new game, bocce. And I'm going to practice bocce at home too, Brother Ken. And we got through playing, got ready to leave, and looked up and I saw just how beautiful the skies were. You know, I can't help but to think, Lord, how, man, it's so beautiful today. It's warm. And over the last few days, I've been thankful. You know, I know God is in complete control, but I am glad there's a dry place where I live now and where I minister, where my hands and my shoulders don't hurt near as bad as they used to. I'm excited about maybe even not having to stop taking some of the medication for arthritis. We are having our difficulties as we age. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. But God is so good to us. Even through the hardships and the uncomforts and the difficulties, we can still say, Lord, thank you for what you provided and what you've given us. Dear friends, I need the shepherd because he made me. And number two, I need the shepherd because he bought me. Because he bought me. Here we'll concentrate on the next word after that linking verb. The Lord is my shepherd. Make it personal. So many things that we make personal. These are my grandchildren. These are my children. This is my wife. This is, or the kids will say, this is my toy. This is mine. But the wonderful thing about the Lord is we can share him. We are to share him. And we don't look at him in his possession of mine not to share, but he is my shepherd, my provider, my creator, not only of me, but of all mankind, of all the world. And we are to share him with others of that aspect. That's the thing that we can say is my and still share with others with great pride and a joy of sharing him. Letter A, he bought me by his sacrifice. I tell you what, I don't know about you, when I get through this little section, I hope it's enough to get you excited and happy and remember some days of your salvation. In the life of the Jewish people, do you know what actually happened to the sheep during sacrifices? See, the sheep was sacrificed for the people. It was the sheep that died to provide a sacrifice for the people. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. It was the sheep whose blood was shed and offered for the sins of the people. It was a sheep whose wool that was used to clothe the people. But it's a whole lot different in my life and in yours. Because in my life and in your life, it is a shepherd who was sacrificed for the sheep. Think about that for a moment. In this particular one, he came as the Lamb of God and as the shepherd. He gave his life for me. Not only did he give his life for me, he also he rose again and became my shepherd. John 10:11 tells us, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. It was Jesus, my shepherd, who died as my sacrifice. And it was Jesus, my shepherd, who gave his blood to take away my sins. And it was Jesus, my shepherd, who has clothed me in his righteousness. That's my shepherd. That's my Jesus. That's my Jesus. Made a little note down here, and I'll get back to it again a little bit later. But if you ever have taken the opportunity just to use, and there's a common or popular song out today, but let me tell you about my Jesus. Have you taken the time to do that? Do we look for the opportunities and aspect, or even bring up the aspect? How many people even today know pretty much, or those other psalms in the Bible where even the world memorizes or knows in some way? Sports teams that used to take a ballad and pray the Lord's Prayer before a ball game, and many of them knowing it and never been in church a day in their life. But here in Psalm 1, for the sheep, for God's people, he is our shepherd. Not only do we see that he bought me by his sacrifice, he bought me for himself. One of the sweetest things about the relationship between the shepherd and the sheep is just how personal it is. Again, let me encourage you to read a little bit. If you get a chance to get this book, or read in general, if you ever get a chance somewhere and riding along and you see a shepherd and a sheep, take the time, if you're not in a rush, and just observe. It's just surprising to see the relationship between that shepherd and the sheep, or the dogs they may be using to help them to care for the sheep. They need somebody to care for them and the dedication they have in order to do it. And after all, if the sheep really are as dumb as they tell us, and what we've learned, and the Lord compares us to that, we've all heard the term sheeple. We just bow and follow, but who are we following? And I heard the phrase, I've got it written down on my computer, I can't remember who said it, but whoever has your ear will steer. That which you listen to, that which you read after, will have a great impact and influence on your life. John chapter 10 and verse 27 through 29, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them to me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I always use that passage of Scripture after someone gets saved and help them understand the aspect of security in the believer. And dear friends, we are secure. He bought me. He bought us for himself. And by the way, my shepherd didn't buy me to lose me. Amen? He didn't buy me to lose me. He gave himself that we might have eternal life, something that I cannot lose. And by the way, for those of Armenian background, it's not something we can walk away from either. We are secure, we are saved by grace if we have repented and turned to Christ. That was one of my biggest battles I had on the mission field in dealing with those folks. You know, he bought me to keep me. And many of them would believe that they could walk away from their salvation. And my thought was, well, then you never had that to begin with. You never had it to be able to walk away from it. Now, I believe people walk away from the Lord in a sense, get away, get bitter, become backslidden. But those in time will be chastised. They will be dealt with by the shepherd because he loves them. He uses the crook. He uses what he needs, as I mentioned before, to bring his people, his children back. I need the shepherd because he made me. I need the shepherd because he bought me. And then number three, I need the shepherd because he cares for me. No one cares for me like the lowly Jesus. The Lord, this aspect is, now we're on the aspect of shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Letter A, he is a loving shepherd. You know, I had to think there just for a moment, an aspect of it again. And I know how much that I love my wife. I know how much she loves me. I know how much my mom and dad love me. I know how much I love my grandchildren. But it pales in comparison of how much my shepherd loves me, how much he cares for me and what he's willing to give for me. You may ask, do you love your shepherd? And of course, my answer would be without any reservation, a definite yes. I love my Jesus. I love my shepherd. But my love for him, again, is so feeble to compare to his love for me. But that's okay. He can love me more. I'm just glad he loves me. We have that saying in my family so very often. We're on the phone, we hang up. Whoever says, I love you, the other one always says, I love you more. Even in a text message, I love you more. So I've got to the point with my kids, when I say, I love you, and they say, I love you more, I always say, I loved you first. Because I did. And dear friends, he loved us first. 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me. There's a song by the Gaithers, Jesus, my Jesus. Jesus, my Jesus, do you know him today? Oh, please don't turn him away. Oh, Jesus, my Jesus, without him, how lost I would be. Without him, I would be dying. Without him, I would be enslaved. Without him, life would be hopeless. But with Jesus, thank God, I'm saved. Jesus, my Jesus, do you know him today? Oh, please don't turn him away. Oh, Jesus, my Jesus, without him, how lost I would be. Dear friends, I know the Lord. And he loves me and I love him. But there's still, without a doubt, there's some times that we are lost. Sometimes, again, we're described as sheep, not in the sense of salvation that we're lost, but sometimes we get lost in things. We get lost in our worries. We get lost in our sickness. We get lost in our concern for our family. We get lost in, and you fill in the blank. And we just have to remember and remind ourselves, because of the Lord Jesus, because he is the great shepherd, because he does provide all that we need, I can say, the Lord is my shepherd to help me find my way to where I need to be. Not be pulled away with being distracted or pulled away with the cares and concerns of the world, because he is a loving shepherd. And then letter B, he is a caring shepherd. A caring shepherd. You know, even when I have to learn the same lesson over and over, he still loves me. Even when I have to go through the same thing that I went through, I can't help but to think in my mind, the Lord think, oh, that knothead, he's done it again. But he still loves me. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Just look at that last half of Psalm 23 and verse 1. Because he is a caring shepherd, I shall not want. Dear friends, isn't it so good to know that God not only provides so many of our needs, he also provides so much of our wants. So, and sometimes the problem is we want the wrong things. We desire a hunger or thirst after the wrong thing. And I'll close with this tonight as we think of the Lord as my shepherd. I shall not want. Let me ask tonight, and we'll get on this a little bit next week and maybe the week after. But that word want, what are the things that we want? What are the things that we want more than other things? What are the things that we want that probably should be a much lower priority on our list? Let me give a few examples. I want revival. I want to see my neighbors saved. I want to see revival in our church, in our home, in our church. I want to see revival in Maricopa. I want to see revival in Arizona. I want, and let's think about and how to pray the things that we want in a spiritual sense. Our kids write out a wish list when they were home. Some of you probably still do with your spouse, so what you want for Christmas or your birthday. No? No want list? But you know, when's the last time we sat down and wrote out a want list, spiritually speaking? I want to know him more. I want to memorize this passage of scripture. I want to know more about the names of God and what they mean. I want to know more about how I can understand and grasp and fully understand to the full extent the writer meant when he wrote Psalm 23. I want, and then fill in that spiritual aspect. That's your homework this week, to think about, spiritually speaking, the things that you want for God to do. Many of them, I'm hoping, is for the life of others. Because the number one want is salvation. I have it. So now it's up to me to share it with my neighbor. I've got family members. I've got friends that I'm still praying for. I've got an Uncle Dan that I've prayed for since I was a teenager and decided and got excited about the things of God that I have prayed for and prayed for. I've got an Uncle Graham that I prayed for many, many years that he would get saved, along with his wife Mary, who prayed for him, my Aunt Mary, that her husband would get saved. And just a quick story and I'll be done. I remember, not the day my Uncle Graham got saved, but I remember going to Steel Creek in Bristol, Tennessee, for one of the last family reunions we had. And I had been praying for my Uncle Dan, praying for my Uncle Graham, as well as my Uncle Tommy and my Uncle Calvin. Three of those, four have gotten saved since then, but one is still not saved. And I remember coming up and coming in. The first thing, I'm going to go to Grandma Cook. She's the matriarch of our family at that time, with an unsaved grandfather who had passed away and loved her neck. And they brought her recliner out. She's sitting in the chair. And she said, "Now, sweetheart, I want you to pray later before we eat. But before you talk anymore, you need to go find your Uncle Graham." I can remember it like it was yesterday. As I looked for my Uncle Graham, and he was out there on the trains with the kids, sitting down on that train with his knees in his jaw because he was so tall. And he said, "Get on board, Junior." He scooted over and I got on. He said, as he began to weep, "Thank you for praying. I know it's been a long time, but just wanted you to know that I got saved last week. I trusted the Lord last week. I tell you what, that was the most awkward, but most enjoyable train ride." I mean, awkward as in being uncomfortable. But hearing that, and dear friends, that's a want that I had. And I still want to hear it from my Uncle Dan. I still got some cousins. My Uncle Tommy passed away 3 years ago and made a profession before he died. My Uncle Calvin still is not saved. My dad had 9 brothers and 6 sisters, raised on a farm by an unsaved dad, but a mom who loved the Lord and tried to get them in church as much as she could. And dear friends, I've got some spiritual wants. And we'll talk about that a little more, that last phrase, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." But for now, let's enjoy that he is my shepherd. And let's enjoy that somebody told us about the great shepherd, that we can know, that we know, that we know that we're saved and on our way to heaven. I press and pray that you'll read Psalm 23 over and over. Look at it a little bit differently. Ask the Lord to show you and give you insights in this passage as a shepherd's view or the sheep's view of Psalm 23, and how God could work and show you some things that encourage you and excite you about the Word of God. Let's pray. Lord, we love you and thank you for your goodness, the blessings of joy, the blessings of service. Father, the blessings of having the written Word of God in our hands before us. Father, help us to not take those things for granted. Lord, help us to reread Psalm 23, to study it out, to look at it as our point of view as the sheep in this view, and saying, Lord, teach me, show me, help me to understand, not in my Western eyes, but how it was written in the view of David, as well as others that were involved, Lord, in giving authors and written books of different views of the shepherd's point of view, the sheep's point of view. And Father, help us to see it from the Eastern point of view. Now, Father, dismiss us with your love. Bless our time of fellowship. Thank you for the privilege of being a part of this church and our church family. And Father, help us to never take one another, much less you, for granted. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you.